Well, amen. Praise God for the cross of Calvary this morning. Certainly not a lovely thing, but certainly something we can give God great praise, great honor for. We indeed owe Him our eternal debt of gratitude. You can be turning this morning to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We pick up once again, a couple messages left here, talking about John the Baptist. His great ministry is that forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you found your place in Matthew chapter 11, I'd ask you, in reverence to the Word of God, if you'd stand with me. And we'll read a passage we dealt with last week, on down through the verses that we'll be looking at today, beginning in Matthew 11 in verse 7, it says, "And as they departed," or excuse me, let me back up to verse 2. It says, "And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Father, we bow before you this once again. And Father, we seek your face. We seek you, Father, that you might be pleased to enter in and grant to us your help today. Lord, as preacher and pastor, I plead with you, recognizing my own great need today. Father, I stand before my brothers and sisters in Christ and simply ask you that you might give us bread for our souls. Feed us, Lord, from your word today, that indeed our hearts might be challenged in you, but also that we would be encouraged. Father, some may need that rebuke or correction. But Lord, most of all, we just pray that you would, in that exact way needed, speak to each of us. Lord, we desire, we long, we're here to hear from you. Father, I pray for those, anyone that might be in our midst today that are yet without Christ. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, might you suit that special message for their hearts today, revealing your Son in that beautiful and wonderful way as Savior from sin. And Lord, exalt him, lift him up, that indeed he might draw all men to himself. We pray that the wicked one would have no place to enter in, cause any hindrance or obstacle to what you would desire to do in our hearts. Lord, indeed, please get the preacher out of the way, that we might see Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. As we read here, the disciples that John had sent to the Lord Jesus Christ are now leaving in verse 7. They're returning to John with those words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not too hard for us to picture the scene. Jesus, the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ would have followed them as they were departing. And he asked the multitude, it says here, the multitude that was thronging him as usual, he asks them a series of questions to get from them some answers, or at least desire to probe their hearts to assess just who John the Baptist was, just who he was and what God had given to him to do. And in this, we see the Lord Jesus Christ honor John the Baptist. In these verses, we read, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." And he goes on here. Jesus gives honor to this one who went before him to make the way straight, to prepare the way for the Messiah. He asks them this question, just what did you go out there to the wilderness to see? What was it that drew the multitudes into the wilderness? Why did they leave the cities and the villages? Why did they go out there to Jordan? What was it? Who was it that they went to see? What was it that they expected when they went there to the wilderness? The Lord Jesus asks these questions to force folk to consider the serious gravity of the ministry that God had given to John. This, beloved, the events of these days, the ministry of John the Baptist, and of course the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, was earth-changing. Indeed, John was that one, as we saw, the very bulldozer of God, preparing the road, preparing that way that for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this, the Lord asks the people, as he probed them, "What did you go to the wilderness to see? Did you go into the wilderness to see a reed shaken with the wind?" Now, there would have been a lot of reeds that would grow up there along the River Jordan, especially during the rainy season when the river would have been high and broad. The reeds would grow up out of the water. But then as the water would go back and draw away from those reeds, it would leave them pretty much exposed to the wind and all that would come their way. And the reed, you know, it's a pretty slender stalk and not much to support it. And it would easily be shaken about. Beloved, John the Baptist was no shaking, timid man, not to say the least. He was not unstable. He was no reed that would be blown to and fro. He was a bold and an unflinching preacher of the Word of God. Praise God for him. He was a preacher of the truth. He was indeed, as he's described, that voice crying in the wilderness. He was unshakable in the message and his stand upon the Word of God. We need more John the Baptist even in this day. But the Lord Jesus goes on. "But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment," as he describes here in our passage. Turn, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 3. We see just how John the Baptist was clothed in this passage, in this verse. Matthew 3 and verse 4. There it says, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. The kind of clothing that Jesus describes in Matthew 11, he says that would be the type of clothing, a sort of clothing, that would be worn in the king's palace. The word soft, this word soft here is interesting. It even carries with it the idea of being effeminate. The clothing of those of feeble character. And beloved, I guess there's no politically correct way to say this, so I'll just say it. This would have been the clothing, this soft raiment described by Jesus, would have been the clothing of girly boys would wear. Soft raiment. Soft raiment may be the clothing that those that lived in Herod's palace wore, but it's hardly how you would describe John in his camel hair attire, in his leather girdle. They assume, I guess I could say, but this describes the clothing. This description would be of a camel hide with the hair still on it. I mean, this is the kind of clothing that John the Baptist wore. It'd be cinched about with a leather girdle. Hey, he wasn't there for soft clothing. He wasn't there to be a fancy pants preacher. He was there to preach the unflinching, unshakable message of the living God. He was there to call men to repentance, to turn from their sin, and to keep their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. We remember that John's ministry was to be a ministry in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Well, John's choice of wardrobe was very similar to Elijah's. We read in 2 Kings chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. You can listen to this. It says, he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, well, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And immediately they knew who they were talking about. He says, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Well, John wore a garment that was suitable for work in the wilderness. Hey, John slept out under the stars. He had a tough and a strong appearance to signify the seriousness of the work that God had given to him. He lived, he ate, and he slept the ministry that God had given him. Oh, yes. His daily diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. Yum. I can go for that honey. I like honey any which way. But I don't know about this locust thing. There's several kinds of locusts in that area around Jordan. They range from 2 to 3 inches long. They'd be roasted and then eaten, minus the wings, legs, and the entrails. It'd be like eating big old grasshoppers. And y'all know that Marsh and I were in Thailand for a couple weeks, and more than once walked past places where they would have those big old tasty grasshoppers. They're all roasted and ready to munch on. I guarantee you, this old boy didn't eat no bugs. Did my best to keep Marcia from eating them. Grasshoppers, locusts, would have been something that was permitted to be eaten under the law of Moses. And I've read that it was the food of the poor. And in that, it certainly speaks of the simplicity of the life that John lived there in Jordan, where indeed he lived and ministered. He ate and he slept. He lived of the very things that God had made available to him. And indeed, he had no desire for the soft raiment or the dainties of a king's palace. But the Lord Jesus goes on, but what went you out to see? A prophet? Did you go out to see a prophet? Well, Jesus answers and he says, yes, indeed. In verse 9, what went you out for to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was indeed, beloved, a prophet. He was God's messenger. He had denied self in order to be faithful to the message and the ministry that God had given him from the womb of his mother. He was willing. He was willing to risk the anger of a king rather than not rebuke and condemn the king's sin. Wow. Again, might I say, we need more John the Baptist today. John was ready to lay down his life. Hey, to lay his life on the line for the truth of God, for the Word of God. He was more concerned about being right with God than he was being in favor with man. He was truly a prophet of God. And yet our passage says that he was more than a prophet. He was more than a prophet. John was unlike any of the Old Testament prophets. They prophesied about the Christ, but they never had the opportunity to meet him. John was the one that was sent to prepare the way, to make the way straight for the Messiah. And he had the honor, the privilege of seeing him face to face. The prophets foretold the day of Messiah. John had the honored task of preparing for Messiah. The prophets preached that Messiah would be sent as a lamb to the slaughter. John had the privilege of pointing him out to the multitudes and declaring what? Behold the Lamb that was... Behold a Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. Wow. John was more than a prophet. In fact, our passage says in verse 11 that he was the greatest ever born of woman. That's an astounding statement, beloved. To consider that. Of all men, he's the greatest ever born of a woman. Few statements in Scripture are more amazing than those words, leastwise to me. For a man to be described by the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, to be as great a man that has ever been born on this earth planet is an astounding statement. His uncommon birth, his being filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, his exceptional life, the purity of his doctrine, and especially his work as the forerunner of Christ and the preparer of the way for him. And yet, with all that said, and again, amazing, astounding declaration about this man. Yet with all that said, the Lord Jesus Christ makes another fascinating statement. In verse 11, he's compared, beloved, to the least in the kingdom of heaven. What does it say? Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That takes me back. it takes me back. It causes me pause to even consider those words. He is here compared to the very least in the kingdom of heaven. Amazing. It's a troubling statement at first consideration. But as we would think about it for a moment, John was, as Jesus declared, the greatest ever born of a woman. And I take from this passage that he was the godliest, the most dedicated man of God ever born. I have to come to that conclusion by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, though, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is the Lord Jesus telling us? Jesus. Now, I believe with all my heart that the Lord Jesus is not in any way hedging or tempering his description of John. He's not taking away from John at all. But beloved, as great as John was, he did not, now listen, John did not have the spiritual light that a child has, that has the Lord Jesus Christ living in him. Huh? Consider it, beloved. John was a contemporary of the Lord Jesus Christ, given this unique and special ministry to point the way, to prepare the way for the Son of God's coming. But he did not have the privilege that every one of you has, that has Jesus Christ not amongst us, but in us. Christ liveth in me, beloved. That is more astounding than anything said about John the Baptist. That God lives in us today. And that you and I, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, have insight and direction for our lives that John did not have. Amazing. Amazing blessing that God has given to us. Oh my. Jesus' words were not to slight John in any way, but to raise that the age of grace, beloved, the age which was at this moment shortly to begin, the very age that you and I here this morning have the privilege to live in. You and I have the privilege to live at such a time as this. You say, preacher, don't you realize how hard it is in this world in this day? Don't you realize the darkness that's crowding in on us from every side? Oh, yes, beloved, I read the news. I understand. Hey, I live in this world too. I understand that this world is crowding us in more and more on every side. But hey, you and I have the privilege in this day and in the maybe the darkest hour to live for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, to shine for Him in this age, for His honor, for His glory, to exalt that name that is above every name. Hey, even a candle can give light in the darkest of places. Amen. And we're called upon to be a light in this world. To indeed be that salt and light that would make a difference. You and I are given a privilege, beloved, that John the Baptist did not have. To understand, to know the redemption that ours is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. To indeed have the presence and direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my, thank you, Lord Jesus. But then as well, we see here some words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the coming kingdom. In verses 12 and verse 13, he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, how long had that been? A couple years? I don't know, as we would consider this, from the time of Jesus' baptism to this point, year and a half, 2 years. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now, these are certainly some difficult words, hard to be understood. Difficult to try to determine just what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. But it seems that our Savior is talking about that spiritual battle, that warfare that was going on at that very time. And beloved, I believe continues unto this day. We understand this morning that the Apostle Paul writes to us in several places in his letters and explains to us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but indeed, we do fight, we do wrestle against the powers of darkness in this world. We understand that there is an opposition to the gospel. Indeed, John and our Savior experienced that opposition. John was continually questioned by the religious leadership. And we're well aware of how they continually, scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the priests, were continually going against the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to bring him down in the eyes of the people. And the more that they withstood John, the more that they withstood the Lord Jesus Christ, the more the crowds pressed to come to them. Huh? Look with me, if you would, or at least listen to Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, where it says, concerning this same subject, it says, the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Oh my beloved, John came on the scene preaching the kingdom, preaching repentance, and to turn to the Lord. The priests, the Pharisees, the lawyers, they all rejected that message. They all questioned them on every side. They derided John. They mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. They did all they could to keep people from them. But the common man pressed. They pressed. They did all they could to get the publicans, the sinners, folks just like us, earnestly pursued, even as we read here, pressed to hear the message of the kingdom of heaven. They would not be turned away. Multitudes flocked to hear John and were now, even at that time, patiently, earnestly pressing that they might hear and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They desired the kingdom of heaven, and nothing would keep them from Jesus. Who desired? Who desired that kingdom? Who were these ones that desired to get to Jesus? It was the common folk, beloved. The common people, just like us. At least, I'll speak for me. Just common folk. Those who were often of no account. The base, the defiled. Those that the religious crowd, those of the religious leadership, would have been the last that they expected would enter the kingdom of heaven. Those sinners. those publicans and so forth. But they were the ones who were pressing to enter in. Hey, this morning, I praise God for the Mary Magdalenes. I praise God for the Zacchaeuses. I praise God for the blind Bartimaeuses. Praise God for every sinner that would not be dissuaded, but pressed their way to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might get to the foot of the cross. They could see, receive forgiveness in Christ. Reminds me of those words, beloved, The Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I came not to the righteous. I'm come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Do you fit the bill? He came to call sinners to repentance. What's the conclusion of all this morning? We see the Lord Jesus Christ's exhortation to the multitudes. And I believe his exhortation to me and his exhortation to you. He says, and if you will receive it, in verse 14, this John is Elias. He is that Elijah that my father would send. This is Elias, which was to come. And what's he say? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What's the Lord Jesus say? If God be pleased to give us that assurance to our hearts that what we hear in this passage is true. Do you have ears to hear? Then receive it. Amen. Hear it. Hear it. The Lord Jesus challenges all those present to listen, to take heed. John came proclaiming what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you mean by that? He says it's right there. That one who comes to be baptized. The kingdom, the rule of God is right here. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have ears to hear it? Do you have ears to hear it? Oh yes. The Lord Jesus Christ has a word for us all. His ministry was indeed to prepare the way for the Lord. And Jesus assured all that if you believed and received him, Jesus was indeed that promised Messiah, the Lamb of God, the salvation of God. And then John indeed was that one that was to come. Do you have ears to hear? Then listen. Has God prepared your heart to receive Jesus Christ? Oh my, many of us here would profess, yes indeed, preacher. There was that time when God tendered the soils of my heart and he broke up that fallow ground. And I believed, I received the seed, the good word of God concerning what Jesus Christ did for me. Yes, indeed, I heard and I believed. But friend, if you're here today and you've never put that faith, put that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not as the Savior, not as the Son of God, but as your Savior, as the Lamb that shed his blood for you, to make that sacrifice for your sin. Oh, please, today, put your faith, put your trust in him. Brothers and sisters, you that are saved this morning, I was thinking about all this early this morning in the ministry of John. Beloved, what does Jesus say to me? What's he saying to you about John? And again, maybe these are questions that God was asking me this morning, but I share them with you. Do we have that patience that John had? Do we have the patience for our God that John shows? There wasn't nothing going to come between John and what God had called him to do. Nothing was going to turn John away from that. Do we have that patience for our Savior that overrules everything else in our life? It's a tough question, isn't it? That's a tough question. Where's God? Where does our love for God play in our life? Is it a love, that comes first and foremost before everything else? in our life? Are we willing? Are we willing to stand with our God against all odds? John was willing to do that. He laid down his life for that. Against all odds. What are we going to do? Now listen. What are we going to do? Not saying what would we do if. I'm asking you, what are we going to do when wicked rulers seek to silence us? The pressure's on us, beloved. I believe that, and I could be wrong, it's okay. I believe that it's going to get tougher and tougher to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pressure's on us now. Not, hey, the pressure's on us to not condemn the sin of the world. Are you listening? You understand what I'm saying? This world's doing everything it can to, hey, blunt language, shut us up. Huh? Over and over again, we're hearing about what this book says is hate speech. I know you folk. You know me. We don't hate anybody. Huh? I don't even hate the worst sinner that lives on this earth planet. Because I know there's hope in Jesus. But you declare the truth of this book. You start to take a stand against sin. The more, hey, the farther we go along this road, the more this world's wanting to shut us up. Silence us. Why? Because it does not want to be reminded. It does not want to be called on its sin. On its sin. Oh my. Do you want me? Hey, I'm your preacher. For like it or not, you're stuck with me. Do you want your preacher to tone down the message? Should we tailor our standard to be more acceptable to the world that has rejected the moral compass that God has given to us? John the Baptist refused to do that. He's an inspiration to me. Because, beloved, you know as well as I do that when you're surrounded by folks that don't like this or don't like that, that you're involved in, what is our tendency? Our tendency is to shrink back. That's just the way we are. It's hard to step up and say, hey, this is the truth. God says this. It's tough, isn't it? It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get easier. And so we need, beloved, I believe that we need to steel our hearts. And I mean by that, strengthen ourselves to be ready to stand against the tide that's going to come against us. We understand, beloved, that we are now not supposed to mention that, how do I say it nice? We're not to declare that any sex outside of marriage other than a man and a woman is wrong. We're not supposed to say that anymore. Beloved, we're not supposed to think that anymore. And this world, Hollywood, the music corporations are doing their best to convince these young folks that we're nuts, that God's word is wrong. I'm not exaggerating, I don't believe. What are we going to do? You see, I think that this pulpit and pulpits across our country are to blame, to some extent at least, that we've not been the trumpeters of the truth. We've not been the John the Baptist that we should have been, that we need to be. Oh my. Are we willing to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ against sin, against the world, against wrong, whatever face it takes, regardless of what it will cost us? That's a real question, isn't it? And I don't know exactly why the Lord led me to close this way today. But folks, we're getting there. Closer and closer. It seems with every time the Supreme Court and the legislature meets, they're taking away more and more our right to declare this book. Please don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me when I declare the wickedness of the leaders of our land. When I declare how wicked they are, it's not that I don't have hope, because even presidents, senators, congressmen can get saved. Huh? God can change king's hearts. We understand that. But it's still my responsibility, and beloved, it's your responsibility to stand for truth, regardless of the cost to us. Would we be willing to go the way of John the Baptist? Would we be willing to follow our Savior regardless of the cost? Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you, and Lord, I just want to thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for recording in your word for us today the kind of man he was, his commitment to you, his desire to honor and exalt his Savior, the Lamb of God. And so, Father, I pray that his ministry, his life, would continue to be a light of inspiration to us, even all of these centuries separated. Lord, please help me as a pastor, as a preacher, to not cower, to not in any way allow the forces of the world to dissuade us from preaching the truth. Lord, most of all, Father, please, please help Metropolitan Baptist Church and whatever preacher would stand behind this desk to unflinchingly, without shame, point to the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Might we forever and always be committed to exalt the name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, might we be willing to take our stand with our Savior. Oh, Lord, you loved us and you sacrificed your own only begotten Son on our behalf. Lord, might we, oh, Father, might we return that love to you and to your Son. Might we surrender and yield in such a way to you that your Holy Spirit could use us for your glory. Father, I'm praying that in these days, even in March of 2013, the name of Jesus Christ would be vindicated, that name would be exalted amongst all men. Pray that we at Metropolitan Baptist Church would continue to publish the grand and glorious good news, salvation. Salvation and deliverance from sin. Oh God, help us, I pray, to stand for righteousness and truth. But also, Lord, help us, help me, to stand for that righteousness and truth in a gracious, merciful holiness and love. Lord, help us to be, oh God, help us to be like Jesus. like our Savior. Lord, we thank you again today for how good a God you are, how great a God you are to us, giving us those good gifts all along the way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, Brother John.